Hallelujah. Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by Pax Inc. That's PACTSINC. And Pax Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. And check this website out because they have codes of conduct, you have information, total information about the organization, information of how you yourself can become a member or a donor, how you can get involved in some of the projects that they have, literacy programs, sports programs, surveys, community surveys, things like that. They also have a Learning Center tab that if you hover your mouse or if you're on your phone, you click the drop-down box on the Learning Center, you'll see a whole bunch of other resources that come up, ranging from audio, politics, book survival, legal cases, videos, all of that is available to you. Don't forget that store tab that they have as well. So once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, Shelby Davis, Queen Candace, and Enigma September, all of our podcast hosts, everything that we got going on at the Freedom Train Network, and how we are using our platforms to help make things better within our community. Once again, our website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. Whoop, whoop. What up, Pat? And not like you can hear me, though. I said, what up, Pat?
Not much, Mike. Chilling like a villain. Okay. I was fighting with the mute button.
Oh, I thought you were hating on my whoop whoop.
Nah, I was actually thinking your mouse click is going to be like legendary, like in the Fix shows and the Knee shows before the music plays or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You are do. Yeah. The damn mic pick up everything, especially that mouse click.
Yeah, this shit is going to be legendary before.
Yeah, they already know. When you hear that, it's going to start.
Oh, yeah. Even with the Fix, like, after I press play, I don't consider it to actually be starting until I hear the mouse click.
You better know that. Y'all better know that. And let me figure out how to make that mouse click not make that sound. There you go. When I figure out how to not make that sound, it's going to be good. But in the meantime...
You gotta get a silent mouse.
There it is. Man, everything good.
Yeah, man, things is straight. You know, it's a lot going on right now. And I'm actually kind of, because I'm locked in with this, I'm still going through the $2 trillion stimulus budget on the.
Yeah. How many parts you gonna have? 75?
Bro, I'm about halfway done with it right now, so I'm probably be at like 15, 16 when it's all said and done. Well, no, because it really started to pick up. They start cramming a lot of stuff in, so I might be able to cram a bunch in. It's going to be more than 10, though. I know it's going
to
be more than 10.
So for those who listen to this show but may not have listened to Lessons from the Screen or even these particular episodes, kind of give a little short synopsis of what you're covering in this 89-part series.
You asshole for that. So in Lessons from the Screen right now, we are basically in the middle of a deep dive into the $2 trillion stimulus package. So we have covered all three of the COVID-related laws that have passed, and they're so significant and so... changing. So they're so groundbreaking in the amount of things they changed, the amount of money that was spent, the amount of things that they touched, that, you know, kind of felt like it was necessary not to just kind of skim over this and just jump into our opinions like we would on some of the other shows, or maybe even dig into the history and kind of fill the show out talking about history and stuff like that. Nah, we just wanted to really give people a real good look at what $2 trillion looks like. And what we've come to find out so far is basically a synopsis of what you could get from reading the news articles that have been coming out, which is basically like this is a handout to all of the wrong people. But it's being able to see how it's worded, how the programs work, how the power is distributed within the programs, because none of that is like hidden. It's all like right there in the law, like it usually is. People just don't check out the laws. So it's just a real deep dive into the $2 trillion stimulus package, and it's a lot of information in there because that thing changed a lot of stuff about the way America works.
Right. Nah, that's what's up. That's what's up. I just want to make sure people check it out. So y'all make sure y'all hit that Lessons from the Screen tab when you see it out on social media, or go check it. Check out Lessons from the Screen on your favorite podcast platforms. But, man, it's been a lot going on within this last week or so. Shit, going back further than that people actually been really reacting to around the country. Starting with Ahmaud Arbery this year. Breonna Taylor, some people are talking about what happened with Breonna Taylor, but she's not really getting the same energy as the men are. I think it's kind of sad. From Ahmaud Arbery to Breonna Taylor to George Floyd to even here in Tallahassee, what happened with the Tony McDade situation and there have been other shootings and violence that involved police or white supremacy, you know, violence towards black people. And unless you've been living under a rock, protests have broke out in various cities around the nation to protest the George Floyd death of the cop, the puss-ass cop who kneeled his knee on George Floyd's neck for about 6 or 7 minutes and, you know, basically cut off the blood supply, which eventually led to George Floyd dying. So we're going to get into that. We talk about just get into the crux of all these situations, kind of breaking things down, giving our thoughts, but also talking about things that the black community we could do for ourselves to make things safer for ourselves. We kind of routinely come back to this, and we're going to keep doing it because we believe when you organize, you can better help yourselves. So before we get to the organization, kind of dive into these situations. So like I said, we're coming off the heels of what happened with Ahmaud Arbery. So as far as we know, the two white boys who killed Ahmaud Arbery, they have been arrested and charged. Whether or not they're going to get the real justice, we don't know yet. But we know that has happened with Ahmaud Arbery situation, and people were mad, of course. Huh?
Joe. Huh? Give in case people don't know or whatever the case might be, just give them a real, real brief synopsis of what happened with Ahmaud Arbery.
What city was he in? Because I forgot. I can't think what city he was in right now.
Shit, as soon as you ask me that.
Well, basically, Ahmaud Arbery was a black man who was going for his normal job throughout his neighborhood when two white men basically hunted him down and killed him, and they, in their defense, which was bullshit, but in their defense, they're saying that they figured him as somebody who's stolen something, the criminal. And of course, you know, they white men criminalize the black men. They hunted him down literally and killed him. That's what happened with Ahmaud Arbery.
That was in Georgia. That was
okay,
in Georgia.
And well, some of the, I guess you could say, protests from that were people who were jogging in the name of Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah, the jog.
Right.
Jog for Arbery or for Ahmaud.
But now, with the George Floyd situation, protests have broke out all over the country. The George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota, right? Is it Minneapolis? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we have protests everywhere, even here in Tallahassee, Florida, even though things haven't gotten overtly violent here in Tallahassee. I know white guy tried to run some people over with a truck, but there has been no looting or anything like that going on in Tallahassee. Now, other cities, it's been going all the way motherfucking down. So, Pat, kind of your thoughts on, before we get to the rioting before the protesting, because there's protesting, rioting, and looting going on, and black people not into all that shit. We want to break that down too. But before we get to that, just your thoughts overall on what happened, not just with Ahmaud Arbery, but with Breonna Taylor as well. Like, I want to bring her into the conversation, because I don't want to leave her situation out, because I think it's, no, it happened. We need to recognize it, and it should be a part of the anger and vitriol that people have. But no, your thoughts on these situations that kind of that's leading up to the protest.
Well, so in the Breonna Taylor situation was in March of this year, and two plainclothes police officers basically stormed into her house and got into a shootout with her, and I think it was her boyfriend, and she ended up getting shot like 8 times. And so and they were looking for a drug house that was like 10 miles away or more than 10 miles away, and the suspect that they were looking for was already in custody, I believe. So
right.
So and even in that, I have read some mixed reports about they had a search warrant for her resident and some other things going on there. But the fact of the matter is,
that's bull. I say that's bull, especially if you already had the man in custody.
They went in plain clothes, and got in the shootout, and she ended up dead. So that's the Breonna Taylor situation. And with all of these, like, so that situation reminds me actually of the situation that happened, I believe it was in 2000. Yeah, there was a situation in Dallas where they went in somebody's home, and somebody pulled out their gun to protect their family and shot at the police, and the police shot back and killed them, and then it came out that they were in the wrong home. There was a situation in North Carolina a few years back where the police went into somebody's older black lady's home, supposedly looking for a criminal, and ended up shooting an 11-year-old girl while she was asleep on the couch. So we've had all of these stories of cops basically breaking into the wrong homes, and that's what they're doing, warrant or not. Especially if you're at the wrong address, you're breaking into somebody's house. So breaking into somebody's house, killing the people in there, and then especially trying to justify it after the fact, especially when those people were in self-defense mode, pulled out their weapons and started firing at the intruders who were breaking into their house.
So which is their right.
It's totally their right. So, that's that situation. And then with the situation that happened in Minnesota, you basically have an individual who was in custody, who was detained, and who was murdered after being detained. And I just keep all of these things, for me, you just keep going back to this just keeps happening over and over and over again. Like, none of these stories are unique. Not even this year are they unique.
It's like, normalized behavior.
Right. And so even if we want to talk about cops breaking into people's homes, the wellness check situation that happened in Texas, where they killed the lady playing video games with her nephew, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's happening, it's going to keep happening. Nothing, the protests, the riots, all of that stuff, I understand wanting to get the anger out and all of that stuff. Do I think it's going to work? No. But those are just my thoughts on it. Like, so you know me, I'm big on, like, okay, so we need to use certain aspects of what's going on to do certain things, and we need to use the larger body of numbers to really try to make sense of what's going on and push something forward in order to make a difference. And so that's kind of the mode I'm in here, is that how can we use the larger sense of what's happening to galvanize real community change? Because in all of these individual instances, people want justice for this one individual person, and assuming they get it, they go home happy thinking they, you know, caused some sort of change to be happening in a systemic problem. And so that's kind of where my focus has been the last few years, because like we said, and like we continue to say, every time it gets hot, this shit seems to happen.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day. It's cyclical. I am tired of this mess with these white folks. I'm sick and tired of this shit. It's been happening too long before I was born. It don't need to be happening after I'm dead and gone. But the system of white supremacy has to be dismantled and or divorced. It needs to be dismantled and divorced from. Black people are dying at the hands of the police. Police are going getting off scot-free from this mess. Us as black people are expected to just sit back and take it. So I'm not mad at the protest. I'm not mad at the protest at all, because I understand why the protest happened. You can't keep fucking with people and then expect no kind of retaliation. It's because basically this is the bully getting mad that you knocked his ass back in the eye, and now he want to fight. So now he really want to fight now, because he's like, how dare you stand up for yourselves, right? And I hear the people who are out there saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. But how do you really quell 400 years of emotions? But how do you quell that? What's the best way to express these hurt emotions? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I hear what people are saying, but I don't agree with what they're saying, because you can't tell people how to grieve, and you can't expect this not to happen in this society, because we living in the police state. We're literally living in the police state where police are getting away with this fuck shit. It feels like every day. I guarantee you it happens every day. Police getting away with this bullshit every day. It's just these certain ones catch the attention of the national media, and that's how we have these protests going on. Now, I do wish the protest and everything that goes on before, during, and after the protest was better organized. And that's one thing we're going to get into. But just expressing myself about this, George Floyd should be alive. No matter the situation, that man should be alive. Breonna Taylor should be alive.
Well, all of these, I mean, I don't think anybody can even push back on the notion that I was saying about 80 to 90% of these cases, if these people were white, they would be alive. And that's the truth of the scenario that we're faced with, and it is happening every day. Every day, I think there was a report released a couple months back, and I have to find it, but I think it said on average 2.5 black people are killed every day at the hands of police, and that's just killed. That's not even talking about all of the black people that are being abused, having their civil rights violated, being beaten, being embarrassed, being humiliated, you know, having all of the other things that are happening that are, causing them to be damaged goods, sent back into the community with an immense amount of frustration and exasperation and everything else. But we're also, like, but even to the people that are chastising those people that are out rioting and looting, and we'll get into whether or not they're actually
down.
Black people and all that other. Yeah,
right,
we'll get into that.
Right, because it's probably.
But even to the black, if there actually are black people doing that, it's too late to reach. Like, you can't tell somebody to calm down after they're already pissed off.
Right.
Like, they're not going to listen at that point unless you have developed a certain type of relationship with them to where, you know, they see you in a certain light and they'll, you know, some sort of trigger is flipped where they'll override their emotional urges in order to listen to you. And right now, everybody is emotional. Everybody is upset. Everybody is furious. And that's something that you got to deal with. If those types of inroads haven't been made, then you got a plan for the next time it happens, and there will be a next time.
Well, and I don't want to do this for self-aggrandizement or anything, but I did a video a couple years back about the relationship between black people and the police. I want to attach that when we make this post, attach that. But just for background context for a lot of people understanding what happened and why this relationship is sour. And just a little context. I mean, the idea of police being slave patrols and keeping the property or the Negroes or the less than in check hasn't changed. Like, look at the way black people are treated by the police and look at the way white people are treated. Now, you got some equal opportunity cops who are going to give it to everybody, but the white people are not going to get it the same way black people get it, right? So that's how you can be a white man yielding a knife or yielding a sword, swinging it at cops and still be taken down alive and peacefully. You might get tased. A black person can have nothing and get their ass whooped or murdered by the cops, and it's justified. Because we know by now that a lot of the police officers, it's ingrained in their head to take out black people. We know black people are police totally different in America. And it's like the police are a part of the extermination process of black people. That's how we look at it. And so anybody who is like, man, I can't believe y'all look at the police like that. Why wouldn't we have a fuck the police mentality? And we're two people, Pat and I are two people who got friends, homeboys, family members, all types of people who are part of the police, but we still got to fuck the police mentality. Just look at the way the police treat us. And look, a lot of y'all police officers, black police officers, other police officers, who are coming out with your Facebook post now, it feels disingenuous. I'm going to be real with y'all. It feels very disingenuous because first question is, well, what the hell kept y'all silent in the past? And are your actions going to are you just going to post that on social media saying, hey, I'm against this? Or are you going to actually start taking real action against the bad police officers, especially the ones that you work around, to get them removed? Because that's real stuff that people are doing. Like, your Facebook post don't do nothing but make me feel good. Hey, I can go beat my meat off and feel good. I don't need that. We need real change. So how are you going to be about real change if you're going to be in that law enforcement system? This is not a feel-good story. This is change. How is change going to happen?
Well, I don't think I think one of the things that people got to deal with is implicit bias and the nature of racism and how it affects your perception of events. And there is a saying amongst all people that have been in combat situations or been trained for combat situations, you know, that kind of criticizes people that want an armchair quarterback or armchair review or armchair criticize split-second decisions. And the fact of the matter with that is, when you're in those split-second decisions, the implicit biases that you have about a person or a group of people manifest and dictate your perception of reality and the activity that you use that correspond to that. So if you view black people as a threat because society has conditioned you to do so, then your split-second decision is going to lead you into a fucked-up situation, and you are what we call an undercover or a closet racist. It is what it is. Like, it's not saying that it's something you buy into. It's not something that you're aware of, maybe explicitly. But when push comes to shove and you're not permitted time to check your bias is going to kill a black person. And that's the reality of the situation that we're dealing with. When people start talking about better training for officers, the ones that are in the knowing, well-meaning, truly well-meaning and transformational in thought, I think, in the terms of we need training that's going to reprogram them to do away with those implicit biases. The problem with that is the natural shift, the natural flow of information and perception in America creates and enhances the bias that black people are a threat. And that's added too by the fact that as a police officer, you typically see the worst of the worst on a regular basis.
Right.
So.
With no understanding.
Right. And without that understanding and that reprogramming and all those other things, you will become a part of the problem that you joined the police force to correct. That's how we start talking about the blue wall, blue culture, things of those natures. But even to that, I agree with you. I think all of these conversations, all of these police officers coming out with these pictures, these Facebook posts and all this other stuff, coming out with it now, saying I'm a police officer and I'm not like, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, I saw when the cop was like, I've been a police officer for 24 years. Nigga, you 24 years late.
Right. Because this shit has been happening, and it continues to happen, and it ain't like black people just started making a stink about it. We talk about this all the time. You can go back to the comedy specials. Richard Pryor in the 70s and 80s was doing specials about black people being choked out by the police. You know, like, this is not new. If this has been happening. So the mere fact that you can say that I've been an upstanding police officer for the last 20 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, but we still have situations like this going on, at this point, I don't want your fucking Facebook post. What have you done? Have you refused to work in the department? Have you reported people? Have you produced something? What have you done to change the culture of the police force around you, and what are you doing to change the police force, the culture of the police force nationally?
Right, because if you're not doing that, then once again, going back to what I said earlier, everything is disingenuous. You're just trying to make me feel good and make yourself feel good. We need real action, and we ain't saying you can't do it. We just saying we need to see it.
Right, now, we need to see it.
So. We have protests going on. So, like I said, there's protest rioting and looting. From what I am seeing, some of the ones, and I can't speak on all of them, but a number of these protests have been organized to be peaceful demonstrations. And these protesters have been infiltrated by rioters and looters. But this isn't new. They did this in Ferguson. They did this with Mike Brown. People have been doing this. If we continue to refuse to organize and strategize before we try to mobilize, these things are going to always happen, and it's going to always have these peaceful protests turn into what we have going on now. And it's unfortunate that those who had the idea of putting these protests together to agitate, I don't have a problem with that, but when they get infiltrated, it diminishes the whole meaning and the intentions behind the protests, because you have this bullshit going on with people looting and rioting when that wasn't the original intent. But at the same time, if we do have young black people out there expressing themselves and things like that, we do understand why. But when we see it's going overboard and you see stacks of bricks and you see things that look a lot more organized than what we know that these goddamn protests are going on, then we see all these other elements that go into that lead to looting and rioting, and it makes me go back to what I've been saying: we have to organize, even. So when the protests are over, what now? Because if we're not organized, when the protests are over, what now? Do we sit back and wait on the next person to be killed so we can be mad? Or do we do some real things?
Well, and I think, so when we talk about the protests, and we have seen this in Ferguson about infiltration and stuff like that, Antifa, coming around, and like we were in a conversation earlier, and we all know Antifa ain't, you know, they with the shits. They got no problems with being violent, and doing all of this stuff, and then bailing out. You know what I'm saying? And leaving the community to bear the brunt of it, to pick up the slack. And Antifa's not the only group. There are several other groups out there that are with the shits. You know, they are down for blowing shit up, destroying stuff, these anarchist groups that are just looking for every opportunity that they can gain to cause anarchy and chaos. But, you know, they seem to have found a very solid and consistent place to manifest that sort of rage in the hands of our in the black community with all of the things that regularly and consistently happen. But I agree with you in terms of organization. The thought has to be put towards what's going to happen afterwards. And this is a conversation I've been having a lot lately. And like, again, we have it a lot every time around this year, every year around this time, because this stuff seems to happen every year around this time. But the situation is always the same. Like, what you do has to be a part of a plan, preferably one that you came up with before shit went down. But even if you're like last minute planning, you got to put something together. You got to sit down and really think about what you're doing, what are the outcomes you want to achieve, and whether or not what you're doing will achieve those outcomes. For instance, there is a period out there. There is a time and a place for burning shit down. There is a time and a place for destroying even your own community. Uh-huh. If we want to say black people don't own the community, so we not tearing down all shit, and, you know, I'm not even going to get into the validity of that statement or anything like that. I'm just staying with my scenario, because that's a conversation that we may or may not get into today. But if we want to get into that statement and say, so here's how I would plan around that. I would say, okay, when the next time something happens, because we're being proactive, we're not being reactive, we're being proactive. The next time something happens, this is what we're going to do.
Wow.
We're going to, well, before we even start, before something even happens, I'm going to set things up to where I have a team of people in place ready to make purchases. And I have certain politicians and certain laws for zoning ordinance and other things like that in place so that the legal pathway is clear. When something kicks off, we burning every fucking thing to the ground.
Yeah.
Lower property value. Once the property values are lowered and everything is destroyed and the businesses that ain't going to come back have taken their insurance money, rebuilt elsewhere, and the community is in shambles, we're going to swoop in and buy all of that shit up for the low and build it back up. And now it is a black-owned community. And so that would be the strategy that I would have in place.
That strategy and everything.
Right. So I'm not, you know, we're both saying it ain't like you can't do whatever it is you want to do. Just if you take a little bit of time to strategize around it and make sure that what you're doing operates to your long-term best interest, that's the way you need to go. There's no benefit in doing anything without a plan or a strategy in place. There's literally no benefit to any of this shit if it isn't a part of a plan or a strategy.
It's going to continue to be recycled emotions every, like I'm saying, every year. We can't keep doing this same thing the same way every year and expecting different results, you know. We can't keep taking, like I'm looking at something Netflix tweeted out, to be silent is to be complicit. Black Lives Matter, we have a platform, we have a duty to our black members, employees, creators, and talent to speak up. Bitch, that ain't going to keep us safe. But people have been, like these corporations have been so silent, turned their back on us for so long. When they do that, people get excited about that. Fuck Netflix. I mean, look, people who want to be allies, listen, you have to do more than talk. Use your power and your privilege to dismantle the system of white supremacy. It's white people's job to break down the system of white supremacy. You just talking about it is not helping. That's not keeping black people alive. And where's Jay-Z in the NFL? Where they at? Didn't they partner to help stop this? Where they at? Oh, wrong show? I don't know. Hello? Pat, you fighting the mute button? Am I talking to myself?
I feel like damn, I was fighting with the mute button again.
Oh shit! I'm talking to myself.
Nah, I was like, I was just going too. Nah, you know, but Jay, because I said I was like, Jay-Z's not a business man. He a business man. Let him handle his business. Damn, you know, in about 3 years, Jay-Z is gonna put out a documentary. And he's gonna leak a report that's saying what he's doing right now is bailing out all of the black people that's getting locked up, and not saying that bailing
that's
out.
That's not enough.
I'm not saying that that's wrong or that's something to be made light of. I'm just saying, you know, he's probably sitting back somewhere waiting to see, just like all of the other celebrities. Well, most of the other black celebrities are doing this, sitting back,
But see, the thing with that, with this NFL thing, you all said you was going to create this. And see, that's why I was like, look, I feel like they're going to hang themselves. But of course, they're going to have good bullshit excuses. But when you said we're creating this to promote social justice and help social justice and help quell the violence against the police, and shit ain't slowed down a bit, you kind of put yourself between a rock and a hard place. You just, of course, we know they have the means to finagle their way out and make people feel good, especially the Jay-Z lovers. But it just, it's time for all the bullshit, for people to start waking up to the bullshit that's going on around us and the people who keep feeding us bullshit. Now stop letting people just tell us anything to make us feel good about this situation, when all in all, we know that these people aren't doing anything to really help keep us safe. Like, we can't continue to go through these emotional up and downs that we keep going through. It's unhealthy. We have an unhealthy relationship with white America. We have an unhealthy relationship with white supremacy. And it's about time we leave the motherfuckers. We get out. Because we have to stop. We have to do something to slow this down. We can't keep getting murdered by the police on a regular basis. Can't keep getting harassed by the police and white supremacists on a regular basis. Organize. We have to fucking organize.
Yep. And it's funny because, again, we've been saying the same shit. This shit has been happening every year for the last, at least the last 5 or 6 years, like every summer. Like, we ain't missed one yet.
Yeah. I mean, that's real. Like, because Trayvon was around some of this time, and then the young man who was killed before him, the young man who was killed here in Florida in the detention camp. Like, a lot of stuff been happening every year around this time. And we're not saying this is the only time it happened, but we can see the pattern.
This is the only time it becomes like a major news story, though. Like, it's happening year round.
Right. And so, how do we? Well, we know how. But I'm just asking it, like, just rhetorical. How do we keep ourselves safe on a regular basis? We're constantly asking that question, not just when emotions are high, but on a regular basis. We have to have these plans in place. We have to have these strategies in place. We have to be able to support these protests.
Ask the question again.
Okay, how do we keep ourselves safe on a regular basis?
I mean, I think that goes back to what we've consistently been saying, though. Like, you know, we had the show about that when we were talking about, well, we talked about it a little bit when we was talking about the Ahmaud situation. First off, I do think black people need to recognize the culture of white supremacy. I think black people keep missing that. Like, I think black people keep trying to individualize it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm against individualizing the movement itself. That's why I don't really like to say their name movement. I know there are some people that love it. You know, we got into a heated discussion, not heated, but a discussion earlier today about the validity of the say the name movement. I don't like the movement. I think it personalizes things too much. It individualizes the movement, and it becomes far too easy to discredit. But even beyond that, it causes people to individualize the entire situation and to try to boil it down into, you know, well, that's one bad cop or this bad this or this. You know, they try to make all these specific case reasons as to why it's cool and you can feel safe around white people because they know good white people. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, Muhammad Ali used a great analogy that still applies today. You know, if there are 10,000 snakes outside of the door, and you tell me that, I won't even use his exact number, I'll say that if you tell me that out of that 10,000 snakes that are outside the door trying to come in, only 100 of that 10,000 is poisonous, I'm still not going to let none of them snakes in the room.
Right.
I don't know
which
snake is poisonous and which one ain't.
And I ain't finna go through it.
Right. I'm not even finna. And you can even tell me it's only 10 of them snakes that's poisonous. I'd be like, yo, with my luck, I walk right up to one of them 10 poisonous motherfuckers and get bit. Like, and so in America, we dealing with the same situation. It's part, like, nobody's even arguing. Like, I don't even engage in that argument of, well, all white people aren't. I don't even care what all white people are. Are there racist white people out there? Yes. Do they? Can they harm you? And will they harm you? And have they historically been harming you for no apparent reason whatsoever? Yes. That's all I need.
And yeah, so I think, sitting here trying to shift through the black, the good white people and the bad white people. Look, man, look, if you ain't doing nothing to actively, on a regular basis, fight the system of white supremacy, I'm questioning your goodness.
That's same thing about cops. Same thing we say about cops. Cause, and, like, I got white family members, white friends, and I know that's a typical racist thing to say, but I'm not even saying it to say that I don't have a problem with white people. I'm saying that to say all of the white people in my life have been tested, and they understand why I question them sometimes the way I do. And they get it. Like, they don't even trip about it because they already know what it is. I gotta take your temperature every once in a while to make sure that you ain't on that shit. You know, I know what culture you deal with on a daily basis, and that shit is insipid. It's smooth, it's fluing, it's flowing. You know, it's quiet. It's slippery and it's powerful. You know, and we see that even going back to the black thing. How many black cops go on to the police force thinking they're going to change the world, and before they know it, you know, they rattling on you. These niggas out here crazy,
yeah,
man.
It's look, man, these protests are going to happen. These protests are a byproduct of oppression. Can't keep keeping people down, keep killing people, keep murdering people unjustly, and then think you're not going to have some violent reaction. Don't tell me violence begets violence, then get surprised when violence fucking happens. Like, it's a reason.
Don't tell me violence begets violence at all, because that doesn't even necessarily, that's not even necessarily true. Martin Luther King wasn't violent, but he still begot a lot of it.
Damn, so did.
You know, like, throughout
history. But you can't be violent and then be surprised when violence come back to you.
Well, yeah, that's true, too, because people are going to respond with violence. Look, let's put it this way. We're humans. We're fucking savages. Violence is how some of us are just going to respond to any sort of stimuli. any sort of it. You see a roach crawling in your house, you step on it. That was violent. That roach ain't do shit to you. You're walking across the goddamn floor. Your response was violent. You know what I'm saying? A white cop see a black dude crossing the street. Oh, shit, that's a big-ass roach. His reaction is violent.
And I'm looking at a lot of videos that people are posting of themselves at these protests. And we got to stop. At some point, we got to stop trying to become famous and popular off of community work. Community work should be done regardless. You shouldn't, like, first of all, we shouldn't have to wait till these things happen to be in our communities to fight for our people. But stop posting this shit and just get the fuck to work.
Them people ain't doing no real work, in my opinion, and the ones that are showcasing that they ain't serious or genuine with the work they doing, if we being totally honest. At that point, you've transitioned from nation building and community building to platform building. And if that's a part of how you want to build a community is by building a platform, that's fine, but be real about it. But I do think that's one of the other components that we got to do to be safe. One, like I was saying before, we got to recognize white supremacy, white culture supremacy, white cultural supremacy for what it is, and understand that it's not individual based, it's culture based, it's community on community. And then on top of that, once you recognize that, you got to understand that you got to move different. It is not intelligent for you to post a picture of yourself in the middle of a protest that may eventually turn into a riot. Because guess what they're scanning in order to find out and connect dots and do resource, to do tracing on what's going on here? Social fucking media. You just placed yourself at the scene of a potential incident. If it becomes a realized incident, guess who coming to see you? All because you wanted the flaws. You want the flaws. You want the front for the gram.
Yeah, I mean, especially like some people I'm saying, especially if you beefing with black people all year long, you in bullshit nigga shit with black people all year long. Like, cause I'm this is coming from the one celebrity I saw. I know they being that dumb shit, beefing with black people, that dumb shit celebrity housewife shit all year long, and now you like make your mind up what side of the fence you on. Like, I mean, don't be bad for black people and then be like, oh man, come on, like, especially when you're doing it for dollars, you're doing the shit for fame. Like, we have to do better. But look, man, organization, if we are better organized, we can weed out the people who not genuine. Organization should be our rallying cry, should be our word of the year. Like, if black people ain't learned nothing else in 2020, we should learn to be organized. Coming from everything that's happening with coronavirus, and then everything we knew was going to happen with police violence because it happened every year. We could let's continue to not be organized and see ourselves in these same situations at the same places every year, having the same conversations, going through the same emotions because somebody else just got killed. We can save more people if we become organized.
Right. Right. But organization, and this is the part where, you know, we remind people, organization takes hard work, and it's not sexy. You know, it's not glamorous, it's not sexy. There ain't gonna be no news cameras, and people might not know your name. You know, in that world where everybody's chasing fame, celebrity, and clout, you got to be willing to just be viewed as a regular, everyday person doing work. And your work has to give you a sense of pride in and of itself. You know, like it's funny because for all the work that Joe and I do in the community, in our local communities and as a part of various groups working in national communities, y'all don't really hear us bragging about or talking about what we got going on in terms of that community work. Your work should speak for itself. Like, and so there comes to be a level of comfortability and maturity that comes in organization building and being a part of an organization, being a part of something that's bigger, that I do think a lot of people need to get up on. Now, I will say, I think becoming a part of an organization will definitely get you there a lot faster than trying to get there on your own.
Yes.
So to that, I say everybody needs to find a good, solid organization.
Somebody does some real community work.
Right, and get involved. And don't be out there looking for the perfect shot to take a picture for Facebook or looking for the just be out there and be engrossed in the work.
Yeah.
You know, like that's another part of what we can do to be safe.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, I enjoy what I do with Link Up. I enjoy what I do with PAX. You know, two organizations that work on building, one from a national level, one from a local level, and work on building up our community. We do some actual real stuff in the community, and I appreciate that, and I enjoy that. But it's what we have to do. We have to do the stuff that ain't sexy. And if we're not willing to do that, here we're going to be next year or 3 months from now, 4 months from now. Of course, we know this systemic thing with the police is not going to slow down within the next 6 months or something like that. But we can help better protect ourselves and be able to affect more change for ourselves if we come together, if we truly organize. We don't even have to do it on a national level. We can just do it within our own communities, within our own cities, your side of town. Because if you're controlling your side of town, you're organizing your side of town, y'all taking care of each other, y'all as self-sustainable as possible, the police will have less of a presence in them. Because, for one, if it's not crime written, they're not going to be in there unless you call them. So, I mean, and then if you're more organized, if you have the organization that you should have, if something does happen with the police, then you'll be able to better check them. You have a better means of accountability. Right now, we just be hoping and wishing somebody go to jail.
And even to that, getting one cop arrested or having one cop sent to jail is not, that's not justice for the community. And it can be debated whether or not that's actually justice for the family. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to be in the game for systemic changes that will prevent stuff like this from happening again. And notice I said prevent. I didn't say make it harder. I didn't say anything like that. Like, it needs to be, this is a preventable occurrence. And all of them have been preventable occurrences. There are a few instances out there where I would say, okay, there was nothing else that could be done. But when we're talking about Breonna Taylor, when we're talking about Ahmaud, you know, even when we're talking about the situation in Minnesota, when we're talking about the vast majority of the incidences that come to light, we're talking about preventable occurrences. You know, like, and I've been seeing videos, we've been seeing these videos for years of black people being killed, detained, not resisting, even complying with orders. I watched a video a little bit after the Mike Brown situation, the Ferguson situation, where the cop told a man to get his license and registration. And when the man turned to get his license and registration, the cop shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Said he thought he was reaching for a gun. You just told the man to go in his car and get his license and registration. So, but in situations like that, you have black people and white people trying to say, well, the cop didn't know what he was reading. Well, why the fuck you telling him to move then?
Right.
Why didn't you just be like, hey, where's your license and registration? Oh, just tell me where it is. I'll go and get it myself. You just stay there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we got a lot of issues here, but like you said, leading up and like you've consistently been reiterating, the problem here is right now raw emotion is organizing a lot of this shit. That's why movements, a lot of these protests are able to be infiltrated, because people aren't really sitting back and making a real plan for where they're going to be and how they're going to do it. Yeah, they're just getting excited and saying, hey, let's meet up here and go do something. And then you're not even checking all of the people that show up. So you're like, whoa, we got a big-ass crowd. What did you, You know what I'm saying? Were you expecting a big crowd? You know, because if the answer is no, then you need to talk. You need to figure out who the hell all these people are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, once again, we support this protesting. But we are saying it's not enough. Obviously, it's not enough because we're here every year. So shout out to the protesters. But how the fuck can we better support them? And that's where the organization comes in. Even the protesting would be more effective if we organize better. So me, I choose my action to be into organizing on a regular basis. And we, like we said, we are here to support the protesters, but we have to be better organized. Just start in your own local areas. We're not even asking you to organize on a national level or even a state level. Just organize on a local level in your community. How can you better control and protect your community?
That's where everything starts, is locally.
Right.
And even to that, a lot of people have national aspirations. Even if you have national aspirations, it still starts locally. So, you know, I agree with you, Joe. Definitely not asking nobody to try to get on Facebook and organize a major movement of 50,000 people or 500,000. No. You can get 20, 30, 40, 50 people together locally. Y'all can do damage.
Yeah. So, man, and that's the gist of this. Let me say, with this podcast today, we knew that some people were looking to see what we had to say. We wanted to get our take on it out, but also stress the need to organize. Once again, do it on your local level. Organize, organize, organize. We support these protesters. Hey, man, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not against it, but I do want it to be more effective, and I do want us to be able to be alive even months after the protest and not continue to be victims to police brutality. So, and the parting shot is my brother.
No, not today.
Well, you know, organize and power to the people. With that being said, I am Joseph Ward. It's Patrick Irvin. We'll catch y'all next week. Holla. Thank you.